Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. You know, these days it seems like there's an endless supply of preachers, evangelical teachers, podcasters, conference speakers, and authors to listen to, but how can we know whether or not a certain teacher is following Christ obediently and rightly handling His Word?
That's right, Amy. We can't just take it for granted that everyone who presents herself as a Christian teacher is actually teaching rock-solid biblical Christianity. And it's important that just like you would run a background check on someone who works with the children of your church, that we vet the teachers and the pastors whose content we're going to consume. Now, I know I get a lot of questions from my readers about whether or not a particular teacher is doctrinally sound. And Amy, I know you get a lot of questions like that too, right?
I do. You know, just about every day I get questions about names that are familiar that maybe because I've researched them before, or more recently, people I've never even heard of. They want to know, is this teacher sound?
Right. And since we get so many questions about things like that, you know, we would love to be able to answer all of those questions about all the teachers we're asked about, but there's got to be thousands of them out there, and there just are not enough hours in the day, and it takes a lot of time and effort. If you want to do it right and biblically, it takes a lot of time and effort to research and write about teachers. And besides that, people need to learn how to, like we say, do discernment for themselves and not have to depend on someone else like you or like me, because we don't want people just taking our word for it that someone is or isn't a false teacher. So
yeah,
we need
exactly.
to really, you know, have the skills to be able to do it for ourselves.
You know, it's kind of like that old saying, give the woman a box of cookies and she'll be fed for a day, or in my case, maybe an hour, but teach her how to bake and look out. You know, about 10 years ago, I started doing a radio program about biblical discernment, and I promised the listeners, this is 10 years ago, that if they emailed me a topic or a question about a teacher, that I would do the research and let them know what I found. And believe me, Michelle, if I would have just shown people how to do this, it would have saved me a ton of time.
So. Absolutely. So tonight what we like to do is to offer our listeners some help on things to look for when they're vetting authors and teachers, and maybe save them a little time and legwork in the process. So the first thing we want to tackle is, why is it important to make sure that the teachers you follow are doctrinally sound? It sounds like a pretty basic question, but you know, we've got readers on all ends of the spectrum of, or not readers, listeners on all ends of the spectrum of Christianity, you know, from brand new Christians to really seasoned, mature Christians. And so we want to make sure we help everybody out. So it's important to make sure that the teachers that you follow are doctrinally sound, just basically because you want to be sure you're being taught what God's Word actually says, not somebody's idea of what it kind of says or yes. something like that. And we want to be sure that these teachers are following God's word and handling God's word correctly, like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved to, I can't even remember the verse, I didn't pull it up here on my computer, but to be someone who rightly handles God's word so that you won't have any need to be ashamed. So y'all look that verse up, y'all memorize it because I didn't. But anyway, we want to be sure that the teachers that we follow are doctrinally sound. So that's the foundational idea that we need to go with. So doing discernment, what are the steps in doing discernment?
I love that. Let's do discernment.
Let's do discernment. And I would say, and maybe Amy, I hope you agree with me, the first step would be to know your Bible.
Yeah.
This is not optional. We've got to know our Bibles. We need to have a trustworthy translation. We need to be studying that word every day. We need to be in a good doctrinally sound church, which is also not optional, as we talked about on one of our previous episodes. We need to be in a good doctrinally sound church where we're being taught the word by good, solid teachers. And we need, you know, we can also supplement reading the word ourselves and going to a good church and getting good teaching and preaching. We can supplement that with listening to good podcasts like this one, or, you know, good sermons, an audio Bible. We can memorize scripture. We can learn how to properly handle God's word. Because, you know, this is something we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And one great side effect of studying God's word really well, is that you'll have that word in your heart, like Psalm says, to hide that word in your heart, so that when you hear a statement by a particular teacher, you'll already have that word in there to compare what the teacher is saying to Scripture, and hopefully you'll be able to discern whether or not that teacher is saying something right or wrong.
Yeah, and that discernment, that knowing the word in your heart, can produce feelings of, oh my goodness, that doesn't sound right, because the Scripture that I remember, that I buried in my heart, says something different. And so one of the traps I think we can get into is relying on our feelings. The Holy Spirit does speak to us through His word, but many of us think that if we hear something strange in church or on the radio, that we get some red flags or a check in our spirit, that this is actually a sign of the gift of discernment. And I would say, not really. Those feelings can happen when we come across a teaching that's unbiblical. That's true. But it's not the feelings that are important. Rather, the feelings can come about as a result of the actual discernment that's happening in you. So true discernment is knowing what the Bible has to say when we hold that teaching up to the light. So there is a difference. Michelle, I do experience feelings when I come across false teachings, mostly feelings of disappointment or sadness or anger, betrayal sometimes, depending on whom or what the topic is at that moment. That is completely normal, and I'm sure you feel that way sometimes too.
Oh, I sure do. And I know what you're talking about with the people who say that they have this, I don't know how they, I guess they describe it as the gift of discernment or whatever, but they really do rely on whether they get a bad feeling about somebody or whether they have a good feeling about somebody. And usually those people are following false teachers, unfortunately. Right. So yeah, we have to be sure. And we want to be sure that we understand also that using God's word, studying God's word, that is being led by the Spirit. Some people say, make a difference between being led by the Spirit and studying God's word. But since God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit and He is the author of Scripture, then using and reading and studying Scripture is being led by the Holy Spirit. So we want to make sure that we understand that. So we really have to know our Bibles. Next, we really need to pray. One of the things that I pray about is that God would protect me from being deceived by false teachers, and that He would continue to grow me in wisdom and discernment, and just things of this nature, that He would continue to grow me to be Christ-like. And also, when you're about to research a teacher, it's good to ask God to give you wisdom and understanding of, rightly dividing His word and whether or not that teacher is handling God's word correctly, and that God will lead you to trustworthy evidence and things like that. So number two, pray. Be sure you pray.
Very, very important step. And I've actually been in churches before where, before you even open the scripture, maybe you're not going to open the scripture. You're just going to pray against the evil spirits and cast them out. That is not what Michelle is talking about. It's actually the beginning of opening scripture and allowing that Holy Spirit to speak to you through His word. That's where you're going to find the biblical truth and the discernment that you need to put on that full armor, because boy, truth is being attacked left and right these days.
It sure is. We need to know what the truth is, and the only way to know what the truth is, like John 17:17 says, sanctify it. Jesus prayed for us that God would sanctify us in truth. Your word is truth, is what John 17:17 says. So that's a good thing to pray as well, that God would sanctify us in that truth. All right. Now, the third thing when we're talking about doing discernment, so to speak, is that we need to know our criteria when it comes to what's a false teacher and what's not a false teacher. And so one of the things that I hear pretty often when I'm talking to someone about false teachers is that someone will pop up and say, but every teacher makes mistakes. And of course, every teacher does make mistakes. Even the most doctrinally sound pastor out there is going to make a mistake from time to time. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a good, solid pastor who has a good track record of handling God's word correctly and just makes a mistake from time to time, and somebody brings it to his attention and he corrects himself and repents of anything he needs to repent of. We're talking about people who, despite biblical correction, continue to preach things that are unbiblical, and they dig their heels in and they refuse to repent, and they're getting farther and farther away from biblical truth. And so that's what we're talking about when we when we're talking about someone who is a false teacher, or you know, just maybe someone you just shouldn't follow because they're just on the wrong track. So that's what you're looking at when you're looking at a false teacher. When I research a teacher, I examine three fundamental areas of her life and her teaching, because these first two will tell you pretty quickly whether or not you should be listening to this teacher, regardless of what she's actually teaching. The first criteria I look at is, does this teacher currently and unrepentantly preach to men if she's a woman? Or if the teacher is male, does he allow women to preach to mixed audiences from his pulpit? Is there a woman pastor on staff, or is his wife the co-pastor of the church? So something like that. It's a good litmus test to, and we'll get a little bit into that in a minute. And then the second thing I look at is, does this person follow a lot of false teachers, hang around with a lot of false teachers, speak at false teachers' conferences and churches and things of that nature? And then the final thing I tend to look at is the actual doctrine he or she teaches, and does it line up with Scripture? Are those some of the things that you look at too, Amy?
Yes, those are probably my top three. Okay. And I guess when you talk about doctrine, that is probably the key for me. Paul tells us to test the spirits. John tells us to test the spirits in 1 John 4. But you're not testing, if you're talking about litmus tests, you're not testing to see how nice they are or how much they give to charity or the level of their humility or how spiritual that they seem. In fact, I had a teacher come to our church, and I questioned somebody that he was promoting, and he said, "Oh, Amy, that person is so humble." And I thought to myself, well, I don't think humility is a true test of, you know, the Holy Spirit. So what you're actually testing for in this is their doctrine. That is the fruit you're looking for with any teaching if you're going to test the spirits.
That is so right. And like I mentioned before, the first two criteria that I look at, women teaching men, yes, and the teacher hanging around with false teachers, these two things, like I said, are litmus tests that can tell you, you know, pretty quickly whether or not you should be following that person, because these two things are very highly correlated with people who teach false doctrine. In other words, if you find a woman who has no problem teaching men, she's probably also going to be off in other areas of her doctrine, and you probably don't need to be following her. Right. Or if you find someone who's constantly hanging around with false teachers, you know, those false teachers are going to influence her, and she's probably teaching stuff that is not objectionable to these false teachers that she's hanging around with. You know, like they say, birds of a feather flock together. Yes. You know,
well, and you know, I hope you don't mind a little, I would be remiss if I did not mention that recently we saw a case where a popular speaker was invited to a women's conference that I'm scheduled to speak at. It is the Answers in Genesis conference that's, as of this recording, the date is still 7 months away, so it's, you know, it's a ways out there. But I was invited more than a year ago for the 2020 event and was really surprised to learn that a teacher named Jackie Hill Perry, because it's okay to name names, we're not slandering or anything like that, but she was more recently added to the speaker lineup. And so when I found out, I immediately contacted the conference organizers to just express some of the concerns that I had. You know, I did this very kindly, and they were very open to that. This particular speaker, had been dipping a toe in the unbiblical social justice movement, the woke movement, if you will, and that's a whole nother show. We'll probably do that. And okay, maybe she was more than just a toe. Maybe she was a little more submerged. But then she started affiliating with false teachers from the NAR movement and the Word of Faith movement. And I'll just say, Michelle, I'm not just talking about guilt by association. I don't play that game. It's really not discernment. However, guilt by affiliation. And I've seen people apostatize before my very eyes when they affiliate with all these false teachers. And that's something to be concerned about. And so thankfully, the organizers of the conference shared those concerns. and she's no longer speaking. But that's something that we really have to look out for, those affiliations. Who are they affiliated with? Not, you know, who did they happen to know, you know, the Kevin Bacon test of how many handshakes away are you? It's really, truly affiliations that we really need to be concerned about.
That's right. And when need to give some scriptures that y'all can look at too. We're going to let you look these up on your own. If you look at 2 John 9 through 11 and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, that'll give you a little bit better idea of what God thinks of people associating with false teachers. And Romans 16, 17 through 18 as well. God says we are not to have anything to do with false teachers. We're not to welcome them into our churches. We're not to, you know, to use their materials. We're not to associate with them at all. Because one of the reasons for this is because when we do such a thing, we send the message to the teacher that his or her doctrine is acceptable and that we think they're biblically sound. And that doesn't do any kind of a service to that false teacher. That's actually unkind to that false teacher, because yes, that person needs to know that he or she is teaching false doctrine so he or she can repent and come back to the truth and teach sound doctrine. But also, in addition to sending the false teacher the wrong message, when we welcome in false teachers, we confuse other people as well. People who are watching and wondering what biblical Christianity is all about, maybe baby Christians, brand new Christians that don't know what's right and what's wrong and what's biblical and what's not, it sends a very confusing message to those people that need our help being taught sound doctrine instead of us introducing false teachers to them. So it's very important that a teacher, a pastor or a teacher that people might follow, draw a very clear line so that the people who are following them understand this is sound doctrine and this is not. And I'm not going to associate with people like speaking at conferences with them or what have you. That's usually the way they associate with people. Yeah. By doing any of these things, I'm not going to partner in ministry with these people because I don't want to confuse the people who are following me into thinking that I approve of these people and that I think their doctrine is okay. So that's one of the criteria that we can look at, and pretty quickly we can determine whether or not we should be following that person. Another thing, like I mentioned before, is women preaching to men. Yes. For those who aren't familiar with this teaching, you can look at 1 Timothy 2:12, and really the preponderance of Scripture teaches this. It's not just one verse, like a lot of people like to say. It's just one verse. It's not just one verse. All right. Scripture teaches this, that women are not to be preaching to, teaching, or holding authority over men in the gathering of the church body. It's not just inside the four walls of a church. The church is not the building. The church is the people, okay? So when we have a gathering of Christians for worship and teaching and things of this nature, women are not to be preaching to them or teaching them. And as I said, with these two litmus tests, what you will normally find, like almost, I mean, I haven't found any of any people who, women who preach to men or teachers who are associating with false teachers who actually teach sound doctrine, but they're just preaching to men also, or they're just associating with false teachers. So
I haven't either.
These two things are, especially if you're a new Christian and you're not familiar with what doctrine, you know, which doctrine is which and what the Bible says about what, it's a lot easier to, you know, scroll through that teacher's Facebook page and see if she's retweeting a bunch of people that you know are false teachers, or watch some of the videos of her teaching and see if there are men in the audience, or go to the events page on her website, go to her calendar of events and see if she's preaching on Sunday morning at a church. You know, if she's scheduled to speak at 11 a.m. at First Baptist Church somewhere, she's probably preaching the sermon at that church. So these are some things that, you know, we talked a few weeks ago on our episode about churches, about how you can use church websites to sort of weed out some of the bad churches. These two litmus tests can help in sort of the same way by weeding out those bad teachers. Now, obviously, someone can, be biblical in these two areas and still teach false doctrine. You know, you can have a female teacher who doesn't preach to men and who doesn't associate with false teachers, and still her doctrine is not good. And so if she let's put it this way. If she is sinning in the area of preaching to men, or if she is sinning against scripture by associating with false teachers, that's enough evidence. You don't need to be following a teacher like that or receiving teaching from someone like that. Right. But if she's being obedient to those two scriptures, then you're going to have to go on to her doctrine. And I'm saying her because most of the questions I get are about women Bible study teachers.
Yeah, me too.
So it can be men as well, but, so if she's biblical in those two areas, you're still going to have to read her book and compare it to scripture, or listen to her teaching and compare it to scripture, and make sure everything that she is teaching is correct. You want to check out her statement of faith page, if she has one, on her website, and make sure that all of that lines up with scripture. You can ask doctrinally sound, trustworthy friends if they're familiar with this teacher's doctrine. Yeah. There's a lot of good theological Facebook groups and other social media groups that you can join, and you can, you know, sort of plug into the social media mind where other people have read lots of books, and you can use their expertise to, or at least their familiarity with that teacher, to find out if that teacher is doctrinally sound or not. And then there's other things, like Amy and I both do discernment articles on our websites. And so you can come look and see if we've done the work for you on that one, and see some of the things that you should be looking for, and some of the evidence about why this teacher is or isn't a false teacher. And there are some other websites that you can look at as well, and we'll put those in the show notes so that you can go check those out.
Yeah, I think the show notes are going to be pretty heavily laden with articles too. Yeah. So dig in.
Absolutely. And then the final thing, you know, when you're looking at this person's teaching, there are two really good questions to ask yourself. The first is, where in context, you know, when the teacher makes an assertion, ask yourself, where in context does the Bible say that? Okay. Or, and then the other sort of the other side of that question is, does the Bible say that?
Yeah.
So those are some good questions to ask yourself. If the teacher, you know, cites a certain passage of scripture, look it up and see if she's using it in context. Does the teacher primarily use one reliable translation of the Bible when she's teaching, or does she skip around through various translations and paraphrases while she's teaching to make sure that the verse that she's using says the right word that she wants it to say, or fits with the theme of what she's teaching or whatever? Other things that you can look at, does she have a lot of gimmicks and props and things like this, or does she just teach the word? Some other things is, you know, does her teaching revolve around a correctly handled passage of scripture, or does her teaching revolve around stories or a movie or themes or topics or illustrations that come from outside of scripture?
Yeah.
Does she allegorize scripture a lot? There's,
that's huge.
We know a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of the most popular female Bible teachers right now, that's kind of how they teach. They allegorize scripture. They don't, and that just kind of means they sort of cram scripture into their idea to fit what they're trying to teach. It's kind of a basic way of explaining it.
Yeah.
And another thing to watch for is, does she make every point in every scripture about you? Is this a narcissistic type of teaching? You know, there's,
wait,
again,
you mean it's not about me?
Right. It's not about
no,
us.
It's not about me. It's about Christ.
That's right. And scripture isn't about you either. You know, it applies to you, but you're not the star of the show in scripture. And some teachers try to make it like that. And this, another thing that really drives me crazy, I was reviewing a Lisa Harper Bible study not too long ago, and she relies so heavily on personal stories and anecdotes from her own life, and that, yes, there's so much more of that than there is of scripture. So
yeah,
that's something to watch out for. These are all things to watch and listen for. And as a teacher is just constantly mishandling and misunderstanding or misapplying scripture, this is not a teacher that you should be following.
No, and you know, I think that a lot of times we're focused here on women because it, for some reason, Michelle, it seems like a lot of the false teaching that can seep into, you know, the pews of your church come from us women, you know, girl power, right? We have the power to bring apostasy anywhere we go because we tend to rely so much on our feelings and our thoughts and our, you know, our stories and our anecdotes rather than the written word of God. His word is breathed out, you know, and so true biblical discernment really is something that women need to have. And where do we get that? Well, as we've said, it's from reading and meditating on the breathed out word of God. Read it every day. Be in there and know it. Bury it in your heart.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned that the women's ministry is one way that, that false doctrine tends to come in a lot. Another way that false doctrine tends to come in a lot is through the music in your church.
Yes.
And, you know, I know both of us have warned people a lot about Bethel music and Jesus culture and elevation music and what's the other one? Hillsong, you know, that when it doesn't even have to necessarily be a song that contains false doctrine. As I've told people, you know, when you, music leader, when you bring the song in and somebody likes the song, they'll Google it right there in church, maybe even. I've done that myself and find out who is the artist that has made this song popular. And let's say they find out it's a Hillsong artist. And so then they buy the Hillsong album and then they want to go to the Hillsong conference and then they want to, you know, start following the Hillsong teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can come in through the music as well. So we've really got to watch that. Yeah, in my experience, the main way that false doctrine gets into a church is through the music and through the women's ministry.
Yeah, amen. And you know, I cringe every time I'm in a service and you see the little licensing at the bottom. I just wait for it. That license at the bottom of the music that's up on the Jumbotron, wherever I am. And if it happens to say, you know, Hillsong or any of those that Michelle just mentioned, I just, you know, cringe at that because you're right, Michelle, that just inspires people to go out on their own and say, even if the song itself might've been doctrinally sound, that's just something that you just don't want to infect people with that. So I agree with that 100%. And thankfully, you know, those old hymnals, that those are safe. Just love those.
Right.
So, and Michelle, like you said, we've got resources on both of our blogs we can put out there. We'll add just a few articles that you can go to just kind of as a gateway to get in and research some other things if you like. But true biblical discernment, thankfully, God is not a God of confusion, and He's written His word holy and breathed out, and we've got that right in our hands. And if you're an audio listener like me, it can be right in your earbuds, and you can listen to His word speaking to you in Scripture.
You sure can. And so I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, Amy. I don't know if we can cram too much more information in here, but
probably more, but you know, you have to find us on our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and listen on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play, or wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Until next time, walk worthy.